Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, the 9th of May. You're listening to Viewpoint Talk Radio Europe's current affairs program with a panel of invited guests discussing the issues of the day today. Joined in the studio by Alf Brewer and live on the line from London with Rex Leyland. If you want to get involved with today's show, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And among the subjects we'll be covering today, well, obviously, we're looking at the events over the weekend as London recovers from the coronation of King Charles III. Also looking at the arrests of the members of the Republican group. The leaders, of course, have been released without charge. What does that mean? What does that mean for civil rights and liberties in the UK? Your thoughts on that? Is it really worth it? Thoughts about the monarchy as well? Are we going to have a 21st century monarch? Is it just overblown and not necessary in a modern society? If you want to get involved with today's show, looking forward to looking at that and anything else that is crossing your viewpoint. But let's have a look at the front pages of the papers. The coronation still features heavily on today's front pages, but there is more variety than over the bank holiday weekend. The Times and several other papers have full front page images of the first official photograph of the newly crowned king, alongside his message of thanks after the coronation weekend. Our noble king is the Sun's headline. Daily Mail has an account of what it calls a bus stop last summer between Boris Johnson and the then Prince of Wales after he'd reportedly criticised the government's plans to deport Channel migrants to Rwanda. Writing in the Mail, former Downing Street communications director Guto Harry claimed Boris Johnson squared up to Charles and warned him against interfering in politics, and that the exchange and in the exchange, Mr. Johnson went in quite hard. The Mail says the 15-minute showdown was described by Mr. Johnson at the time as a good old chin wag. The paper quotes friends of his saying he does not recognise the fresh account and that it is inaccurate. The Daily Telegraph highlights the scheme to allow people to get prescriptions for a range of common conditions for pharmacies in England without seeing a doctor. The paper says it's part of a relaunch by Rishi Sunak to revive Tory fortunes following the party's heavy losses at the local elections. We'll be looking at that as well in today's viewpoint. In an editorial, the paper says tackling the failings of the system of GP appointments is of paramount importance, but it needs more than sticking plasters. And while the innovations are welcome if they enhance choice and convenience, whether they measure up to the scale of the problem is another matter, the paper says. The Guardian says the blueprint has been broadly welcomed by health leaders, but experts warn that not all pharmacies will be able to offer all or any of the new services, meaning that the shakeup could result in frustrated patients being bumped from pillar to post only to end up back at the GP. The Sun says the PM has set out what looks like practical common sense improvements to the system. The Financial Times leads on a report that Britain's privatised water and sewage companies more than doubled dividends to £1.4 billion last year, despite rising household bills and a wave of public criticism over sewage outflows. The figures are based on the FT's own analysis of the 10 largest water and sewage companies' accounts. It explains the dividends are higher than headline payouts because a number of the companies have complex layered corporate structures, with many subsidiaries unregulated by Ofwat. Paying out dividends, it says, means less money is available from customer bills for investment in critical infrastructure such as sewage treatment. The Daily Mirror reports that struggling families are being ground down by unrelenting high prices. Quoting research from the consumer group Rich, it says 2 million homes missed at least one bill last month. The Mirror's editorial says Britain is a nation falling terrifyingly deeper into debt and hardship. And many of the papers carry images of Prince William and his family getting involved in Monday's Big Help Out volunteering initiative. Prince Louis is showing helping his dad operate a digger. The Mail said it was his first public engagement, and it says, boy, did he get stuck in. Right then, so your front pages, many of them are with the official coronation photograph. The Express, we thank each and every one of you. Official souvenir portrait. Thank you, each and every one, says the Mirror. Meanwhile, the Sun, our noble king. Thank you, each and every one. Telegraph, again, the coronation picture, but also Prime Minister, skip the GP for common illnesses. The Mirror, thank you to you all, King's message to the nation, and also cost of living crisis, Bill's agony. The Daily Mail, my most heartfelt thanks, grateful King's message to the nation, and also Boris and Charles's Rwanda bust up. The Eye, pass on higher interest rates to savers, big banks told. And the meantime, and finally, the Daily Star. Daily Star is one of only two national newspapers not to feature a coronation portrait on its front page, opting instead for an image of an android linked to a story about artificial intelligence. It quotes Professor Sirian Martin, the former head of GCHQ's National Cybersecurity Center, raising concerns that the rapid development of AI tools capable of producing believable fakes risks undermining the fabric of our society. Spy Boss warns AI fakery and lies may destroy society. We're in a real mess, but who can tell? And those, for better or worse, are your headlines this Tuesday, the 9th of May.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Also, it's the official May Day celebrations in Moscow, and Putin is saying the West has forgotten who defeated the Nazis, and that also it's trying to cancel the results of World War II. Also, top stories, police in London have expressed regret over the arrest of 6 anti-monarchy protesters ahead of Saturday's coronation. Republic leader Graham Smith's among those now told he faces no action, but he still plans to take legal action. In the meantime, let's have a look at the weather.
The weather forecast is brought to you by Liberty Seguros. Liberty Seguros gives you now €50 cash back for every new car, home or life insurance policy you take out. But hurry, this offer is valid until the 27th of June only.
The weather on Talk Radio Europe. Find us at tre.radio.
Have a look at what your weather is doing. Costa del Sol, a bit cloudy at the moment. The sea fog come in. Mainly sunny later, high of 26, your winds from the southeast, which are moderate. Granada, 18 degrees and sunny. High of 32, winds from the northwest, which are light to moderate. Almeria, 20 degrees at the moment, mainly sunny, a high of 25. The winds are southwesterlies and they are moderate. Murcia, 22 degrees, sunny. High today of 33, winds from the southeast, which are moderate to strong. Alicante, 23 degrees, mainly sunny. High of 26, winds from the south, which are moderate. Denia, 22 degrees, mainly sunny, a high of 27. Winds moderate to strong from the south today in Denia. Over on the islands, 19 degrees in Ibiza at the moment, overcast, sunny later on, a high of 24. Winds are moderate to strong southerlies. Mallorca, good morning to you. It's 20 degrees in Palma, mainly sunny with a high of 24. Winds are southwesterlies, moderate. And finally, Gibraltar, overcast with possibility of light rain on the rock at the moment. 17 degrees, 28 is your high. Your winds are moderate to strong southwesterlies. And that's your weather.
weather on Talk Radio Europe. Find us at tre.radio.
Viewpoint
with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively. Joined in the studio by Alf Perrin. Morning to you, Alf.
Good morning, Giles.
And live on the line from that there London, Rex Leyland. Morning to you, Rex.
Good morning, Giles. Good morning, Spain.
Good to have you with us, Rex. Rex, how was the weekend then? I thought I'd go especially to you in London after 3 days of celebration.
Well, words for once fail me. With it being my second coronation, the first one I remember vividly when my late father went out and bought a TV, which was terribly exciting. But I must say it was fabulous, absolutely fabulous. London was stupendous. And I felt so proud that there is at least one thing we can do in this country, and we do it the best in the world. As I kept saying over the weekend, eat your heart out, North Korea, eat your heart out, China. Watch us. We do it better than anybody else in the world. And by God, what a show. What a show. Everything went according to plan. It was, except for the weather, but that's Britain. Everybody would expect that. At least the rain stayed off for the Windsor concert the other night, which was fantastic. But street parties galore. I went to a couple, participated in one, and it really was fabulous. We had a lovely coronation lunch party on board on Saturday. We had all the right English fare. And I have to say that it was really, really the most memorable weekend. And I hope that all of you in Spain could at least get something from it, those of you who wanted to get something from it, because, of course, we have to remember there are Republicans, there are non-monarchists, there are other people with other views, which we have to respect because we live in a democracy. But I thought the police were correct in doing what they did. We wanted to nip anything in the bud. It was absolutely appropriate because the last thing we needed was a spectacle of the wrong type.
Right, Rex, that was pretty forthright. Alf, for your thoughts, did you watch any of the ceremony, etc.? I mean, you know, each your heart out, North Korea wasn't how I thought we would start today's show, but we didn't
have so many intercontinental ballistic missiles going along the road either.
So
I suppose we do that better. But I'll tell you what we also do is we waste money. Was it £100 million? Pound it cost, you know. I'm not being funny, but at a time when everybody's more than hard up,
we can spend. You cannot be a misery guts at this.
No, it's not being a misery guts. And I'm not a royalist, and I'm not a Republican. I'm not sure. I must be a Republican. This is
you
a bit
be
like
a
being
Republican.
Well, yeah, because
now,
I'm not
you
a
have
royalist.
To remember one thing: that £100 million, as you have identified, puts us on the right road of continuity. We go back 1,000 years. The show must roll on. We have
I understand all that. Yeah, Rex.
And that's so important.
I don't knock it, and I did watch. I tell you what, it's because there is certain bits. All the ceremony and all that, nothing to do with that. But the fly past that couldn't happen and the explanation as to why it couldn't happen, which I thought was absolutely spot on. The marching bands, just the troops marching, the way they all went through the arches, the way they're all in step. And the best of the lot was when they did the three cheers. And you see
yes.
that great big...
Oh, my God, it was fabulous.
Yeah, but it was just spot on. And you think, you know, those guys have trained for that for weeks and hours and months, just to all of them at the same time lift their hat, you know, as three cheers. And I'm not sure about the police. I agree. There should be no disruption to what was going on. Were the police heavy-handed? I don't really know, but this morning they're reporting six of the people that they arrested. they could find nothing wrong with whatever they'd done, and they've all been released without charge, etc., etc.
Three were done for drugs, I believe.
No, six people this morning have been released with no charge for no reason because they did nothing wrong. The police have issued a statement saying that they will be investigating right. What happened with those six, and there was at the end of the day 60 odd, but. The reverse of what people are saying is this. If it was a football match, and just bear with me for 1 minute. If it was a football match and you're an away supporter and you end up, because you feel like it, going into the home supporter's end, it's not you that's going to cause the trouble. It will be the home supporters deciding what to do with you. I used to see it in the old days before they had segregation, and you would get that. So it's not about, oh, you're allowed to protest. It's because, yeah, you can have your protest, but understand in that millions or hundreds of thousands of people that were watching, there will be a bunch of people ready to give you a clip around the ear for disrupting what they'd come to watch. So it's just as much for their safety. I know that's a bit of a weak argument, but it's as much for their safety that they're taken out of the scene. So rather than having all the stuff, you know, and that would have destroyed the TV showing, you know, one little upset, and because we love the media so much, they would have been all over that. That would have been frontline, headline news, all the rest of it. Yeah, would have been washed out. And I'll tell you what was, for me, was quite hilarious, was how much all of the opposition, especially the opposition in Thornbury, raved about Penny Mordaunt.
Don't start me off on Penny, because I've already applied for the job as president of her fan club. I'm just waiting for an acceptance.
Why particularly? Why particularly that?
He likes a woman who wields a sword.
I'll tell you why. Because she sort of... I've just been reading the Sunday Times and the sort of... They did a whole page on her. What was incredible was that she sort of came from nowhere. Suddenly there was this wonderful lady. I mean, we all knew Penny Mordaunt. I actually backed her for to be Prime Minister when she was my choice
right.
of the day during the last runoff. But what an exemplary show of discipline, behaviour, charm, and she designed her own dress, had it made at her own expense, stood there for 58 minutes holding that sword without flinching. I mean, what an absolute star. And she's from a military background. She's, I think, undoubtedly she'll make a good prime minister. Just her pure resilience and strength of character.
Ability to hold a sword does not a good prime minister make, you one could argue, Rex.
Well, she can hold a sword and stick it into the right people when they misbehave.
just remember as well, Rex, she came from nowhere, you said, but she didn't come from nowhere.
No, I didn't. I said she came from a military background.
Yeah, no. Before that, you said she came from nowhere to...
No, she came from nowhere in the ceremony.
Right, okay. So... Just remember, the nowhere was where Johnson put her, because he saw her as a threat, and he had to get sideliner. So he sidelined her by giving her that... leaving the House of Commons, and all of a sudden she's front stage, and Johnson's still looking like a scruffy schoolboy who's being told off for turning up.
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. He didn't realise one day she'd take centre stage.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Terrific.
Just another knock for the Tories over the weekend.
Terrible. Terrible. Of course, as you know, I don't vote Conservative, so I'm not bothered. But Alf, on the point of the military precision, did you know that they all had earphones so that all the bands and all the marching started at exactly the same time? No, I thought, yeah. What a clever idea.
It's the drummers. It's the people on the drums had an ear thing. But even besides that... if you've been anywhere near, I mean, I was never in the forces, but I did used to see it. And I watch the parades over here, and you watch the Spanish Foreign Legion doing their bit in the Easter parades and the Christmas parades and stuff like that, and they're throwing their guns around, and you look at them, you go, wow, they make it look so easy. But the practice that goes into it, and then you look at, and who is it? Is it the guardsmen, the ones who are lifeguards that have got the white gloves? And when you saw them walking and marching, and not only their legs are in sync, but you can see all their hands, all their arms are in sync. Absolutely, I admire all of that. The rest of it, the party and all that crowning stuff.
I thought the Mounties looked wonderful. The Mounties.
The Canadian Royal Police, yes. The Royal Mounted Police of Canada.
The Royal Mounted Police, but they were on, which is more fact. I said, mate, it's for a change. They didn't just talk about this, that, and the other. They explained things. All of those horses were gifts from Canada to the Queen. Yeah. So they were all the Queen's horses. So these guys who had come from Canada didn't even know these horses. And the discipline they had of sitting on them and all doing the same. I mean, I saw one horse did a little bit of a shimmy, and the guy must have given him a whack with his spurs, and that was it. That's, everything else was just so perfect. Right.
And also they took centre stage. They were in a very complimentary position in the parade, I thought.
So here's the thing, and also a special mention for the delegation from the Gibraltar Regiment, who we saw.
This
is the thing. This is the thing, because, you know, we live in a modern 21st century world. We no longer have sort of the dominions and empire, etc. And then you see something like this with Samoa, Fiji, people from the Tonga. Caribbean. Exactly. And I mean, is this not a bit of an anachronism, or do you think is it healthy nostalgia? Could you say, I mean, people will be saying, oh, well, this is just, we're just looking backwards, to days of empire.
No.
Right, there you go.
Family. It proves there's a family out there.
In terms of a family of nations? I mean,
no, it's the family of the Commonwealth.
Commonwealth,
and that's what keeps everything. So it's not the empire, it's not the old, it's not even as big as the old empire, but it's the family of the Commonwealth. And there's, if people don't understand, the Tories may cut back on foreign aid, but so many of those countries rely on the UK moving forward. And there's this big issue at the moment, isn't there, about Jamaica becoming a republic. And
Alf, you know what's going on in all of these Caribbean places? They're all on the backhander from the Chinese.
Yep.
And whether the money actually goes to the people or stays in the pockets of these so-called new republicans remains to be seen. But they'll probably all end up like Sri Lanka, in hot to the Chinese, unable to survive.
Well, but not only that, over 40% of the population don't want to become a republic anyway. So they're still struggling with all of this stuff.
It's a bit reminiscent of the SNP up north, isn't it, really?
A bit reminiscent of what's his name in Rhodesia as well.
However, you can argue that with a new king, with the official coronation, your countries such as Australia can now look at this. This is a point to make a break, because obviously the Queen was head of state, and several Australian politicians were saying, well, perhaps the time is now to move on. If you are from, I'm going to say, a former colony, South Africans, Australians, New Zealanders, wherever, give me a call, 952-784-4000, if you're from one of the Caribbean nations or one of the African nations. Do you feel part of the Commonwealth? It's going to make the Commonwealth Games very small, isn't it? If otherwise, it's going to be pretty much like the home nations football matches used to be. Do we think the concept of, you know, a family of nations, a Commonwealth, you could argue that it's too 50s Britain.
I'll tell you what Alf said. That I think Alf just said that, or you just said, it's maybe a time for some of these nations who wish to make the break can make the break. And because, again, the Commonwealth is democratic, any member state can do what they like. If they want to break, they break. If you remember, Mozambique deserted its Portuguese past and applied to become a member of the British Commonwealth, which it did successfully. You can join it. It is just like a club. But I think that probably now certain nations, and those I regret and hopefully not, are in the receipt of the Chinese, of any Chinese funds, who wish to make a break, will now be able, can make a break. And maybe, as Alf said, it's an appropriate time to make a break. I don't know.
And it's live to the lines we go. 952-78-4000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Delta. Sharon. Morning, Alf. Morning, Rex.
I
listen to an awful lot of business programs, and most of them are saying that businesses on Radio 4 every weeknight or early morning, and they take guests from each of the Commonwealth, a lot of the big names, foreign names, Singapore, Australia, New Zealand, Commonwealth countries, and they are virtually summarising that the only people who are really still interested in being part of the UK Commonwealth US isn't Commonwealth, I know that, sorry. US likes the pageantry, by the way. It's not so much the royal family. They love the pageantry, the show. But they go to India, they go to New Zealand, all those Commonwealth countries. And the lady Sushma from India, she's on regularly. She's an economist, and she's obviously Indian. Says that a lot of the Indians still remember the Raj and partition, and it's passed. A lot of the history is passed down to generations, and they are increasingly not wanting to become moving slowly away from the Commonwealth. So it's nothing to do with China, but we have to accept that as time moves on. And I think, to be fair, I think Prince Charles is an open-minded monarch. I think we will, over time, probably not in our lifetime, see a lot more of these countries moving away from the Commonwealth idea to trading deals across countries, different trade deals, as opposed to being part of this.
Sharon, they can still have trade deals, but they can still remain a member of the Commonwealth.
Yes, but they're not wanting to, Ralph. This is my point. I know the show. The bias on the BBC, the BBC is always in trouble with this particular government. So they had to do a good old strong right wing angle on the coronation. They I don't think the BBC felt that they could have been totally balanced on this. Antagonists, the Republicans, regarding them, they didn't do anything wrong. There was very little evidence that there was any trouble. And I suspect that it was this government coming down on the police, because we mustn't have a show, must we? When we're showing off our pageantry, we mustn't have anybody embarrassing us and moving. I don't know, it just struck me as though the government had quite a heavy hand in the policing of this situation, and I find it quite worrying. Now, my parents were conservatives. I voted conservative, believe it or not, I voted conservative as a student in the 70s. I don't anymore. This isn't conservative government. This is a pseudo-fascist government with a horribly frightening anti-democratic facet to it. And they weren't really causing trouble. If the only thing we can do is pageantry do really well, and we do really well, then I think it's quite sad. We sell arms and we do pageantry. Well, what's that all about? I think Charles, to be fair, I think Charles will change things. He's showing signs of doing it. Whether he'll have enough time to do it, I really don't know. But if you look at the Spanish parades and that sort of thing, they're far more inclusive. You get old people, pensioners, and young children playing musical instruments. Probably not very well. Maybe not very well, but they're there. They're included. All age groups. All age groups. The schools teaching the kids how to do it properly. And I just think...
Well, is that encouraging, Sharon, that at least you can stay in Spain and watch the Spanish pageantry and you don't have to bother to come and watch British or pageantry? Because obviously it doesn't interest you in the slightest. You're not at all... you were obviously not impressed by what went on at the weekend.
I am very impressed. I'm very impressed. I'm impressed with it. But I just find it sad that everything over there seems to be breaking apart. All our systems, everything from social services to the health service to the police service to education, they're all broken.
I don't disagree with you, but at the moment we're discussing the coronation, which was, of course, attended by the Spanish royals, which was lovely to see.
Yes, it was.
All the other royals. There is one question I have, actually, Giles, and maybe the listeners could answer this question for me, even Sharon. What we were trying to establish is who the two Arab sheikhs were sitting so close to the front row in the Abbey, and why did we only see two
Interesting point.
Which country did they represent?
Okay.
Politically, it was interesting. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Sharon.
Thank you, Sharon.
One would have been Kuwait.
And the other Saud, I'd imagine. The Saudis.
Well, no, I don't think they were Saudis. One was Kuwait. I think the other one was the UAE.
Okay, Bahrain.
All right, but what about Bahrain? What about Oman? We have strong links with Oman. No one can give me an answer. I've looked it up online, and I can't find an answer. And I'm hoping that somebody out there will be able to give me an accurate answer.
Right, going to a short break, and then we're going to be back with more Viewpoint. Welcome back. Always live, always lively. Joined in the studio by Alf Brewer and live from London with Rex Leyland. If you want to get involved with this morning's show, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And we've got some thoughts coming in on the WhatsApps as well, +34 645 99 67 95. It's not the British Commonwealth, but the Commonwealth of Nations, and consists of 58 countries, two of whom, Mozambique and Rwanda, were never in the British Empire. The movements are for the 15 countries that are overseas realms of the UK monarch. Some are talking of changing their constitutions to republics. And meanwhile, Richard, good morning to you. Okay, obviously, because I was saying obviously we were looking at the we'd be dealing with the coronation in the beginning of the show. It says celebrate sparkly hat party for Chaz, celebrating what exactly? British exceptionalism. Rex needs a bit of a lie down. He's suffering from delusions of grandeur. A democracy that arrests protesters before they protest. What a wonderful democracy. The cost of the coronation will be more than £100 million whenever the UK does any project. Then double the amount and triple the time. Alf, the argument is so weak, you can't even stand with that support. I'm not sure about that. He sent me the Penny Mordaunt and the kebab meme, which has been doing the rounds. Penny Mordaunt holding a giant kebab with the sword, etc. And also they're saying that it looked like the Poundland sign, her outfit. Meanwhile, Penny Mordaunt does not have a military background. She was a reserve. A highly decorated former senior naval officer said she isn't currently a trained or paid reservist. She's never qualified or been commissioned. She's been banging the naval drum for days, and enough is enough. How she has presented herself and how she has allowed herself to be presented have been deeply misleading. The Commonwealth has almost zero value. Sharon, you said Sharon, you also forgot the UK also specializes in tax avoidance and failure. And the two who we were asking, here's the answer to your question, Rex, okay? Qatar's. Yep. Amir Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani, and the King of Bahrain, Hamad bin Isa.
I got one right.
You got one right in your observer's book of British sheikhs. So well done with that one. This also, hi Giles and Right Royal Rex of Monte Cristo. I like that, Rex. The Rex of Monte Cristo. The sheikhs in the front row were the one who left Charlie Boy $1 million in cash in his doorstep. He hasn't been explained to my satisfaction. Bad smell as usual. That's from David in Malaga. In Malaga. Bahrain's and Stephen Richardson, Bahrain's King Hamad bin Al Khalifa, accompanied by Crown Prince Salam bin Hamad Al Khalifa, the United Arab Emirates Sheikh Mansour bin Zayed, Vice President and Deputy Prime Minister, were also there. It was probably the first two that Rex spotted. So there you are. That's the which sheikh was that? Answer the free.
I'd like to thank everybody for their contribution. Much appreciated. Thank you.
952-784-1000. Alf, you look like you're gearing up to say something here. I can see he's revving up, Rex. I can see him revving up in the corner to be warned, right?
This is something that Sharon said that was quite catching. Charles has looked like he's quite open-handed. And we've just had the one in that says about Rex having delusions of grandeur. And I was just thinking for a moment, Rex, have they kept your name on the new coinage with the king on it?
I know. I feel very, very, very proud. Well,
that's why you've got these delusions of grandeur.
Can I just, panel, throw this one in, though, okay, even though it's got Rex's name on the coinage? But, listen, you know, people are saying delusions of grandeur, but, you know, with what the UK has been going through today, is it a bad thing that something like this coronation brings people together and they feel proud to be part of, I'm not saying proud to be British and let's stomp over everybody else, but in a positive way, showing that when, you know, just every now and again, we can forget everything, obviously the arrest of six anti-monarchy protesters notwithstanding, but for the country to come together, is it your feel-good factor that it's going off? 952-784-1000. Rex, I mean, you obviously have a terrific feel-good factor, and presumably you saw that throughout London. I mean, I'm always slightly devious of the people who come down and, you know, camp for 3 months on the Mall for a spot, but still, yeah?
It was, I mean, you could feel it. And you're so right when you say, you know, people coming together. The street parties on Sunday were such a lovely reminder of days gone by, which were very important after the war. And Alf, of course, will recall of all of this and the last coronation. And the Jubilee, when people, neighbours, get together, get to know each other, and share the delight and happiness of the day. And there's no harm in that. You know, we need that more than ever. And, of course, with our now such a wonderful multiple racial society, that's the wrong word, a multiple race society.
Multicultural, I think, the word you're looking for here, right?
And cultural, but race as well, because it brings people together. We are all British. That's it. And we are living in a Christian country with a monarch. And, you know, if you don't like it, you can go somewhere else. But if you're here, you're here. And that's it. And you respect, you know, what is going on and why. And I am fiercely monarchistic, and I am patriotic, and I am proud to be English. So there we are.
Being monarchistic and being patriotic are two different things.
I know.
I'm
both of them.
I'm very patriotic. Rex, doesn't mean to say that I have to agree with a royal and I've said on the radio, I'm on record of saying it before, that I could see nothing wrong with the Queen. It's all the rest of the stuff that goes with the royal family that turned me off. I see nothing wrong with, you know, if people want to have the King, so long as he's doing the correct thing, which, in my view, is staying out of politics, which is...
Which they've always done.
Well, he's got to change now, hasn't he? He could do it when he was Prince of Wales, but he can't do it now.
Dipping before, but he can't dip anymore.
Absolutely. So long as he's there doing that bit up front, it's all the rest of the... And I won't call them hangers-on, because they're not hangers-on. They're just people who've never had a proper job in their lives. So, you know, I suppose rather than going on the dole, we've got to find something for them to do. But they've got enough money between them that they don't have to do any of this. So is it... Doesn't the king... I don't know whether he's handed it over to the new Duke of Edinburgh, but didn't he own half of the South Bank in London? You know, he's a billionaire landowner just in London, let alone all that stuff he's got in Scotland and the South West wherever else. Well, if before he was the king, and we'll still see him floating past us here. King Richard III's will be coming along the coast.
Let's not go
away.
Thank you very much.
Oh, well, you know, some of us have to dream.
Right then, let's look at some of... I definitely move away from that last comment.
I'd love to also, as well, if we could turn the clock back, listen to what Enoch Powell would have to say about all of this, because he was the one who said they're not British, because when England play India, the Indians will support
that
India.
That was Tebbit.
No, it was
Tebbit also in the
Enoch
contest.
Powell started it.
Okay.
And Tebbit then, because Powell was blown out by the Tories, and then Tebbit come along afterwards with his leather jacket and all that. A good general secretary, a good union man was Tebbit, by the way, who supported the trade union movement. Go on. Sorry, Rex.
No, I just going back to the what you were saying about the slimmed down monarchy and all of that, which, of course, it has been slimmed down. And, of course, we mustn't forget hardworking Princess Anne. We must also remember that all the royals went out the next day and did a bit of crowd mingling, which was commendable. I mean, they must have had a torturous 3 days. I mean, how Charles and Camilla survived. They had a lunch and a dinner and a reception the day before the coronation, and then they had to go to the coronation. I mean, they certainly earned their keep that day, undoubtedly. But the royals going out the following day was also commendable showing their faces. What we haven't yet discussed...
That is such a difficult life. I was painting and decorating my daughter's house. It was so much easier than what they had to suffer.
Exactly. But what we are yet to touch on, Giles, maybe if you dare, is comments regarding the Duke of York, Miles Randi, Andy, and also Harry.
Well, yeah, but it's kind of...
What a shame.
We might look at this...
What a shame.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was just basically... It wasn't a thing. I think that's the easiest thing. It didn't deflect from the day, unless you really wanted it to. Let's go to some of the comments. Some of the comments that I've got coming in on the WhatsApps, etc. For Rex from Harper's Bazaar, Arabia, a list of all the Arab royals attending the coronation. Sheikh Mansour bin Zayed, Saudi Arabia Prince Turki bin Mohammed, King Abdullah II of Jordan and Queen Rania, King Hamid bin Isa al-Khalif of Bahrain, His Highness Michel al-Hamad al-Jaber al-Sabah, the Crown Prince of Kuwait, His Highness Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad al-Thani of Qatar, Crown Prince of Oman. There you go.
He was there.
His Highness Sayyid Thaizan and Princess Lala, I think that is Marim of Morocco.
Don't mention Thani.
Morocco was there, wasn't he?
Sorry?
The King of Morocco.
This is just according to, I don't know, this is according to Harper's Bazaar Arabia, so I'm not sure.
I think the King was definitely there. The Moroccan King was there.
But we don't mention anybody called Thani, because he's just...
Yeah, that's Malaga. Anyway,
relegated Malaga to the third tier of football.
Moving swiftly.
Nicking all their money.
Cookies come in with, what was the Grim Reaper doing at the coronation? Okay, Cookie, please send out what you mean about that one. And also, Let's have a look. Okay, there were six rabs at Chaz's. Presumably that means there were six rabbis at the coronation. The UK has gone through what it's been going through because of the poor choices it's made. We do not need some old stale sausage fingers sanitary to head the state. Rex, people hardly know who their neighbours are. We're all British, another liar. The UK is not a Christian country, and you are deluded, he says. Religion in the United Kingdom... none, 52%.
No, I said that based on the coronation service, which was of Christian faith.
Can you ask if Rex, if he's a Tory councillor, says someone, says another one there. So
I've never voted Tory.
Rex, you did vote Rex, and you did vote Tory, but that was many years ago, and I will say that since we had a conversation, you've now come clean and said that you don't vote Tory anymore. Which I applaud you for.
No, I do not. I cannot support them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's a separate subject. We do that in another.
Yeah, if you want to get involved with today's show, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Hi, Charles. You obviously haven't seen the footage of the Grim Reaper at the coronation. I don't know what, Cookie, I don't know what you're talking about. Sorry with that one. Who's the Grim Reaper? I don't understand what you're saying, Cookie, so just let me know who you're talking about. Morning, Dee. Good morning, Mr. Brown. I walked around the East End all Saturday. Not many pennants or flags about Spitalfields, Brick Lane and Broadway markets were as busy as usual. It seems royalists are from out of town. From the Hustings, from the Shires, etc. I know who the Grim Reaper is, Cookie. Some clown with a scythe. I don't understand why you're saying the Grim Reaper was at the coronation. Anyway.
Yeah. I'd like to tell you a little anecdote.
Yeah, just let me finish with Dee's point. Alf, here's some multicultural Britain this morning. Jewish bagels and Pakistani mangoes from Brick Lane earlier. Ooh, lovely. Lovely photo there being sent in. If only you could see it, but it looks absolutely gorgeous. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. The Grim Reaper was a... Richardson's come in. Sorry, Steve. Morning, Stephen. The Grim Reaper was a mysterious hooded character that slunk past during the coronation. Okay. Probably, I don't know. Maybe it was a Star Wars thing. I'm not sure. Maybe somebody cosplayed.
Perhaps the sports kid had something to do with it.
Sports kid had been in there again with his Star Wars references when I'm not looking. 952-78-4000. That's a running joke, Alf. Rex. Sports kid tends to drop me a zinger from Star Wars. Right, coming up to the any more thoughts on the. So what's Tuesday like in the capital? The day after the coronation, been the night before.
I haven't been out yet.
Well, all the news is about the football, isn't it? All of the news is about the football, Rex. So,
as you know, Alf, I'm not a great.
I know that's why I'm saying you haven't been out anywhere, and all the news is about the football.
And I know I saw that the three bottom teams due for relegation have rescued themselves or something, which has been commendable. I just want a quick one. Have I got time before?
Yes, you have indeed.
A quick one, just to demonstrate what we've been talking about camaraderie or interest or support or admiration. I was in Chiswick High Road the other day. I think it was on middle of last week. And I bumped into this chap he was a football fan. He was here for the football, and he was trying to get his a printer, because he's staying in an Airbnb, and this guy was a resident of Seattle who was a Cypriot who had come to London to be near to be as near to the monarch as he could, as he's a monarchist. He also is part of the Commonwealth, Cyprus, and he always loves to attend royal events. And had made the journey from Seattle to be here for a week, saying he'd join in all the fun. And in fact, we became quite friendly, and he joined our quiz team, quiz night at the pub, which he thoroughly enjoyed. And he was, I told him to go to Richmond, where there were more street parties than any other town in Britain. 389 street parties in Richmond, which is just across the river.
Yes.
And he followed my advice, and he went there, and he got picked up by GB News, and he was on the television as a result of it. So there you go. There's a nice little story.
Indeed. In there, there you go. Rich, how to be in Richmond.
3 minutes of fame.
3 minutes of fame.
15 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Indeed.
Everybody's entitled to 15 minutes of fame.
It's lovely to, you know, the guy had made all that effort to come over.
Indeed. Right then, we're going to the news at the top of the hour, then we'll be back with the second half of Viewpoint, where we may well wear it. Thank you for the Grim Reaper pictures. That I think what you're going on about now, so it was probably some little...
Somebody said
it's Rex in his dressing gown. Rex, if you're
God,
shuffling around, looking for coffee in my case, and you looking for a mooring in your case. Right then, we're going to the news at the top of the hour, and then back for the second half of the Viewpoint here on TRE Talk Radio, your voice in Spain. News up next in the back with the second half.
Radio Europe.
Your voice in Spain.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment. Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Always live, always lively. Welcome back to the second half of Viewpoint with me, Giles Brown, joined by Alf Brin Studio and Rex Leyland live from London. If you want to get involved with today's show, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Quick look at the 10 things you need to know this morning. The 8am GP scramble is set to end. The government plans to end the 8am scramble for GP appointments by allowing up to 7 million patients a year suffering from conditions such as a sore throat, earache and shingles to get a prescription directly from pharmacies without a GP appointment. Meanwhile, the Metropolitan Police has defended the arrests of anti-monarchy protesters during the coronation, despite expressing regret over the detentions. The force says it believes items found alongside a large number of placards could be used as lock-on devices, but they had been unable to prove intent, and so no charges will be brought against the activists. Meanwhile, migration levels could reach twice the numbers seen before Brexit. Experts have said net migration, the number entering the UK minus those leaving, could reach a record high of 675,000, double the pre-Brexit peak of 331,000 8 years ago. The figure will pile pressure on the government, added the newspaper, over its 2019 election manifesto pledge to bring down net migration, a promise repeated by Rishi Sunak and Suella Braverman. Meanwhile, very few tears would have been shed in parts of the UK if the Brighton bombing had killed Margaret Thatcher. That's what former Sinn Féin leader Gerry Adams has claimed. Adams made what the Independent described as the incendiary remark on an episode of The Rest Is Politics podcast presented by Alistair Campbell and Rory Stewart. There would be very few tears shed for Margaret Thatcher in Republican Ireland or many villages in rural Wales and working-class Scotland and England itself. Meanwhile, Boris Johnson squared up to the then Prince Charles after he described the government's Rwanda scheme as appalling. That's according to the Daily Mail. Canada has expelled a Chinese diplomat following claims that Beijing tried to intimidate a Canadian politician and interfere in the country's elections. 2 million households in the UK missed or defaulted on at least one mortgage, rent, loan, credit card payment or bill last night, and that's according to Rich. A Labour government would see foreign buyers face increased levels of stamp duty. That's in the FT. Keir Starmer also wants to prevent overseas buyers purchasing more than 50% of properties in a new development. Starmer is looking to introduce new rules to help young people get on the housing ladder and is considering only allowing first-time buyers to buy homes on new developments for a period of 6 months. Local councils coronation here. Local councils across the UK have reportedly spent more than 3.8 million of their own money on coronation accounts. That's according to Open Democracy. The group found the biggest spender on events to mark the coronation of King Charles III was Ealing Council, which spent over 180,000 on events, including a live screening, performances and fireworks. In December, the council said it would have to make at least £2 million of savings from its budget for public health, added social care and leisure centres. And finally, Ron DeSantis, the former governor, has struggled with how he can take on Donald Trump without, peeing off the former president's voting base. A leak of video revealed in the video from 2018, the 44-year-old, now regarded as Trump's strongest challenger for the 2024 Republican presidential nomination, said, obviously there are issues which he disagrees with Trump because, I mean, I voted contrary to him in the Congress. I have to frame it in a way now that's not going to piddle off all his voters. And just finally, President Vladimir Putin says a real war has been unleashed against his country. He's been speaking at the annual Victory Day parade, where Russia's been showing off its military muscle. He's added that Western elites are sowing Russophobia as he accuses the West of creating a real cult of Nazism. That is the message of peace and love coming out of Moscow today. If you want to get involved with the show, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And just a quick look at the WhatsApps as well. Hi, Sir Giles. Good show. Thank you very much. As moments in history, it was a great spectacle, long-lasting memories for some. Yet, with all the homeless and poor that were also watching from afar, with nothing to celebrate except another day in paradise left to fate, the colossal waste of money could have been scaled back a lot to boost the care in all communities. Charles tries his best, but the home front is falling down around his ears. Meanwhile, Gio, good morning to you. King Charles III has just signed off on a non-labelling of GM food while he eats only organic food. Thank you. The Grim Reaper, when in doubt, go to Ritson, because he will be the font of all knowledge here. Okay, so are you ready for this, Rex, about the Grim Reaper? Here we go. The Grim Reaper was this... Barains, the first two, right. Neither of the two Rex spotted, this is not the Grim Reaper, these are the sheikhs or whatever. Neither of the two Rex spotted would have been from Oman. They were wearing gutras. The Omani headdress is called a lihaf and looks quite different. Here we go. The Grim Reaper was this mysterious hooded figure that slunk past during the coronation. Following the ceremonial march, a hooded cloaked figure was spotted wandering in the passage outside the hall carrying something resembling a scythe. Westminster Abbey has identified the figure as a verger, a member of the Abbey community who helps during religious services but was not a member of the clergy. Rex, did we lose you, Rex? Hello, Rex, can you hear me? Ooh, the Grim Reaper has taken Rex out. This is not what we wanted. Rex! Okay, we'll try and get Rex then. As my Welsh grandmother used to say, and there he was gone. Let's try and get... Hello, Rex. Interesting, Mr. Bond. Okay, we're going to take a short break and then back with... Okay, yes, all right. It's obviously the Grim Reaper is having a bash against the phone system here. Right then, 952-78-4000. Alf, let's move away from Grim... let's keep on going about Grim Reapers, because for the...
These things as well, which are interesting and hopefully leads on to what's happened in the local elections.
Yeah, so that's a bit of a Grim Reaper for the full stop.
Well, sort of, yeah, but... There's, you have to be careful sometimes what you wish for, because it's all well and good saying you can go to the pharmacy. Instead of bothering the doctor, you can just go to the pharmacy. Well, for those who aren't... there's Rex.
Yeah, Rex, yeah. Yeah, we got you. Loud and clear.
The line crashed.
The line crashed. It was the Grim Reaper, Rex.
I was going to say, the Grim Reaper's had a good bloody play today. I'll miss.
Anyway, I was just talking about the issue about use of pharmacies, because for people who don't know, Spain has this system anyway. You can go to a pharmacy for many, many things.
Famous one in La Campana. The woman was known as the witch doctor in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, well, you could go to any pharmacy now if it's that bad. But the difference is, if you go to the pharmacy, you don't get the medication as part of the social system. So you're paying top whack for and medication is quite expensive here outside of using your medical card. And for the majority of time, the difficulty is, because it's no different in Spain, people have this wild assumption it's different here, trying to get to see a doctor in Spain is difficult, especially on a day. Very rarely do you get to see a doctor on the day. So what most people do, and my family included, they go to A&E. And they go to A&E because they always see a doctor. Always see a doctor. If they go to the pharmacy, the chances are, you know, they're not going to get the right sort of thing. And they're much more confident in dealing with a doctor from A&E. And like I say, if you go to the pharmacy, you're going to end up paying top dollar for anything that they say you should be taking, especially remembering I've got 7 grandchildren, and I can assure you they go to these international colleges and they're full of everything. All these people fly around the world and come back after every holiday. There's always some blitz of stuff that happens, and we end up with one or other of them in A&E. Getting checked over in order to get the right medication. So sometimes you shouldn't really, you know, don't wish for everything. So use in a pharmacy is fine, so long as in the UK they say it's the same as visiting the doctor. That I right. would agree with. So the second thing is they're now trying to wheel out, for people that don't quite understand the real politics, all the Tories are doing now is wheeling out parts of the parts that suit them of the manifesto that they were elected on. So to start saying, oh yeah, we're going to deal with migration, that's not what they said. It's not what they said at the time, and it's quite clear. It says we're going to bring in an Australian style points based system for immigration. It didn't say we're going to use Rwanda. They didn't say we're going to deal with these boat people. They didn't say any of that. All they were concerned about was bringing in a points-based system for allowing people into the country. And this is the simple bit. I'm not sure how many points an individual needs to be able to pick fruit. I'm not sure how many points are required by an individual in order to pack cardboard boxes. I'm not sure how many points are needed by somebody to make, you know, and put cardboard boxes together. These are the areas where you just talk to British industry. The CBI was scathing about it. They have got 1 million people short in the jobs market for people like that. They're not looking for 1 million surgeons or 1 million doctors or 1 million of this. They're looking for 1 million people who can come in and do that. And it's not because British people don't want to do the work and believe in the Tory nonsense about people skiving off of work. That's not true. It's because we lost 500,000 people from the jobs market simply because we left the EU. 500,000 people disappeared from the UK.
Don't forget, Al, that a lot of people went home for the pandemic and never came back.
That's what I'm saying. 500,000 people. This isn't me talking.
In every country in the world.
But that isn't me talking.
I've got staff shortages.
No. Spain hasn't, believe it or not. Because all those Spanish people that went to the UK to work in the NHS and to work in other industries, the hostel industries, all came back to Spain because they were frightened about what was going to happen to them under the new Brexit arrangements. So right. Spain has actually got a surplus of workers, and they're struggling with unemployment, you know, and especially unemployment of those under 21.
Al, can you send them back, please?
if only. Tell me what point system they're going to be judged on.
Can I just make a couple of points? The first thing is that regarding the pharmacy situation. By the way, I assume we've now moved on to other topics, which is fine.
We have indeed.
But with regards to pharmacy, my late father was a pharmacist in Liverpool. He had quite a few pharmacies. Before the war, he lost five of them were bombed. He was left with five, whatever. Anyway, point of the story is that he told me that often he was a quasi-doctor because many people in the 50s came to the pharmacist for advice. I've always gone to a pharmacist for advice. In fact, the other day, I went and had my COVID top-up, and I went to the local pharmacy who was performing. I didn't, you know, he was there quite happily. They were doing hundreds of people. Didn't have to go to A&E, didn't have to go to a clinic, didn't have to go to the GP, went to the pharmacist. It's the natural stopping place. If you're in trouble medically anywhere in the world, go to the pharmacist. He knows as much as the doctor, and he knows what to give you. And it's a much quicker route. That's one thing I wanted to say. The other thing is, perhaps, Alf, we should have stayed in the EU, and then we'd have had perhaps not so much immigration. That's just a quick point.
We wouldn't have had any immigration, according to what you've just said, Rex. Yeah. But just remember that you move from one country to another, whether you're in the EU or outside the EU, is totally irrelevant. Anybody who moves country is an immigrant. I'm an immigrant in Spain, and yet I moved here when we were the EU. But I was still an immigrant moving into somebody else's country. And without going
too deeply into all of that situation, because one has to designate between a war refugee migrant or an economic migrant, and you have to be able to draw the line. By the way, there's just something flashed up on my phone that the new barge for immigrants is arriving today.
Is this your country house moving in?
We've got room for you.
Rex, is this your country house that you're moving in?
Yeah.
9526.
Another quick point.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're aware, but in this country, we're suffering various drug shortages across the country, you know, for prescriptions. One of them quite serious, as I have a disabled daughter and she's on one of the drugs, which is clobazam, which is made in Europe. And there are a lot of gaps in the, the war chest for doctors here, because a lot of the drugs that are produced in Europe are in short supply for whatever reason. That's just an observation. That is not that's a bit of... information. I'm not commenting on it. I'm just giving you a warning that there are a lot of drug shortages.
A couple of WhatsApps coming in. Doesn't a coronation make a wonderful distraction from the local election results? And the extra money for pharmacies and new GP television systems is coming from existing health budgets, so other health services will suffer. Julie, good morning to you. So much rubbish left behind for someone else to clear up by the lovely monarchists. That's Julie having a rant about people not picking up their litter after them. For whatever reason, it was Brexit and
pandemic.
I'm sorry, what?
And the pandemic.
Thank you. So if you want to get your viewpoint across, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Hi, Giles. Alf chats about the pharmacia. Would you believe we have an SIP card that is now defunct for a while due to the Padrón office deciding it was not updated in time due to a lost in post reminder. Now we still wait for an appointment, which we have been waiting for 15 weeks. If we need the hospital, the SIP is on hold still. 2085, it will soon be here in Torre Vieja before appointment time. Thanks for that. Live to the lines we go. Morning caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Giles. It's Sharon again. The pharmacy business, it's another sticking plaster. It's during COVID, they looked at the pharmacists to take some of the workload off the doctors then. There were shortages of pharmacists, for goodness sake. And to say that they're as good as doctors is absolutely not true, because the doctor has in front of him your whole medical history. So pharmacists are great
for... I did say in an emergency, not...
We did overload the pharmacists during the pandemic. They're on borderline strength because of cuts. This is sticking plaster. We need more doctors, more pharmacists, more of everything. This is another gift from Brexit, I suspect. The drug shortage and everything is in part due to the Brexit strategy.
Production in Europe. Production. We make drugs in the United Kingdom, we send them to Europe, and vice versa. The largest drug companies are British, French, and Spanish. The largest and American.
Well, they're not getting through in the same way that they were before Brexit. So anyway, so we need to train up more doctors and so on. This is sticking plaster. What we need is proper training programs. They cut the GP's training budget. I don't know whether you're aware of that, Rex.
Yep.
They cut it a couple of years ago. A lot of people don't seem to know what really goes on over there. It's horrendous. They don't believe in public services, this government. And they're too cowardly to lose votes by being open about it and just saying we're scrapping everything, because that's what they seem to be doing.
Well, you're obviously reassured by the results of the local elections, and no doubt you'll be rubbing your hands in glee next year.
Because I don't have a lot of faith in Starmer.
Oh, right.
That's irrelevant. Makes a wild assumption that he's going to be the next Prime Minister, and I'm not sure about that.
Exactly.
Plus a fact.
Thanks, Sharon.
As I said earlier, and Sharon's sort of pointing it out, the Tories are now cherry-picking their own manifesto. So they will tell you... This affects me directly... Extra cash for social care and a commitment for cross-party talks to find a long-term solution. The Tories have just put off the new cap that they were going to put in place that protects working-class people from local authorities or whoever it is, the NHS, stripping them out of all their money, sell your house, sell everything you've got, pay it to one of these care homes that, in my view, are extortionate. That's what we're going to... They put a cap on it, a new cap. It's 22,000 or something at the moment, and it's going to go, or should go up to about 85,000. They've just put that off for 2 years. Oh, lo and behold, until after the next general election. They also said a new plastics tax. Well, the first thing they went to industry and said, right, we're going to start tax. And the industry go, well, you do realise what that'll do is put the prices up for people in the shops. Oh, yeah, but if you don't, if you do it a little bit at a time and you as an industry take it on board. No, you're the government. If you think that's what should happen, then you do it. Increase in school spending. When have they given? The only increase they've given in school spending is to make up for the cost of living rises and everything else that goes with it. They haven't given extra money to schools. But they have come up with this one, haven't they? Foreign buyers will have to pay an additional 3% in stamp duty. Big deal. So they're now attacking foreign buyers, and we're going to get them because there's millions of these people around the world who are trying to buy property in the UK to make money out of us. Mm-hmm. So what we'll do is we'll make them pay more money, more tax. What would they do? Well, it might put them off a bit. They might go and buy in Bulgaria rather than Britain. It's just... Everything they do, it's not just sticking plaster. It's a sticking plaster that doesn't stick.
Well, one of the worst things this government has done in the short term is to remove the VAT exclusion for tourists, which is crippling the high street, crippling industry right the way down the line. All the tourists now... Well, they're shopping, they go to other countries. I mean, what a dumb thing to do. And they worked it out that in fact, if it was reversed, the Exchequer would still be showing a massive profit. That was one thing that really sticks in my throat. And the other thing, if you're talking about taxation and stagnation, is the IHT inheritance tax hasn't budged for how many years? Too many years. And that also hits families, Alf, the other way around. And that's something else you need to consider, or we all need to consider, that needs changing in the next government, because it's so unfair that it hasn't kept up with inflation. So when you lose somebody in your family, which is enough upset, you then have the added insult of having to pay all this extra money, which has never been adjusted in line with inflation.
And I don't normally talk about my personal stuff on air, but I am with this one because I am so, so angry. My mum, who is 91, can't live on her own because, she can't go to hospital because she's not a hospital type patient. So they get her out of a bed in a hospital that's costing them $5,000 or $6,000 a week to free up the bed. I think that's great. They put her into a halfway house waiting. And the first thing that they say when they meet my mum and my brother is, are you paying for this yourself, or is this going to be through the local authority? And of course, the local authority say, well, we haven't got the money, and two, you've got a house, so therefore you've got loads of money. So my mum she's not going into some 3 or 4 or 5 star hotel. She's going into what would be a run of the mill, nicely decorated, etc., care home, and the cost will be about £1,500 a week. £1,500 a week. Correct. And my mum has got to pay for that, and she will get no help from the local authority because she happened, because they come from an era that said, we will never be hard up, we will never be short, there'll always be money to look after ourselves. So she's got more than a threshold of savings. She owns, obviously, the house, a little two-bedroom bungalow in Chippenham. And effectively, what they're going to say is, you've got to sell the house because they won't even wait. You've got to give guarantees of payment and all that. And you just go, $6,000 a month for my mum to go into a care home to sit there. And maybe once in the morning and once in the afternoon, they'll do a little show for her. She's not getting medical care, so they're not paying for nurses and things like that. They pay for carers. And then on top of that, what's even worse is that they don't pay the carers enough money, so they haven't got enough carers in these care homes. So my mum, technically at the moment, is left in a room on her own all day with nothing. And you're still going to end up paying £1,500 a week. It's just... And this is the caring Tories. And my mum is, she's just like I say, they spent all their work in life.
Alf, you should write to her MP. And tell them what is
really
going on. Seriously.
Do you know who the Tory MP for Chippenham is? You know, that's where she lives, and it's called Water Off a Duck's Back. Oh, I'll tell you what, we'll go to Swindon, Tory.
Well, go to his surgery, go there in person.
Oh, listen, Rex, you're talking to someone who was a political activist. I know when and where. I tell you, the closest that I ever come, if I could get my brother to do it, is to write to the Ombudsman, because the Ombudsman will then tell these people what they have to do. But at the end of the day, the rules and the law says my mama's got enough money, social services in the local authority cannot fund her. She cannot be funded by the NHS because she's not got a medical condition. She's just got old age.
Mm.
So,
right, well, I'll
catch 22.
Right, Kay.
You may have to go over and be with her.
952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. More Viewpoints after this.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
And we're back into the last 20 minutes or so of Viewpoint. This one in: my mum was in the home with Alzheimer's for 7.5 years. The government took a £500,000 house and all of her savings apart from 20-odd K. How is that fair?
Absolutely. Yeah,
indeed. Right then, let's move on from that particular one. Let's talk about the 49 Conservatives losing 49 councils. What is this going to, I mean... just sort of devastating.
Headline figures.
Yeah.
First of all, you have to go back to before the local elections, because the Tories knew they were going to lose and they were just trying to put off the worst thing. So they get a company, obviously one of their mates, to do us one of their, oh, this is a forecast. And the upper end of the worst scenario forecast was that the Tories would lose 1,000 seats. No, nothing was said about where it was going and what it was doing. It was just the Tories would have a bad day if they lost as many as 1,000 seats. And the Tories were being big-headed about that because they were forecasting, I think, internally, somewhere around 800, 850. They actually lost, was it 1,060? So they went past the that. So the next day, after the results come out, the whole spectrum changes. It doesn't change to, oh, we had a bad day. Well, I understand that. They turned it into, but Labour didn't do very good, did they? Because they only won, was it 540 seats? And you go, yeah, and all those councils. And the biggest lump of all of it is the one that people take their eye off of because they ignore it. Mm-hmm. It's called no overall control. There's 91 councils in the UK, in England, no overall control. And you have to go into each of those to see what's happening. Nobody's going to say, oh, that's all because Labour are teetering on the edge of it. It's because the Lib Dems took a huge chunk of vote. It's because the Greens took a massive, 200 and odd local seats for a party that effectively is Brighton. They've got Brighton Council or whatever council it's called. And so everybody else has done their little bit. What also isn't being taken into account, and I've said it here, if Jamie Milan was around, the same thing. Labour can't win a government. They cannot be a government in their own right unless they start winning the seats in Scotland. At the moment, I think we've got one seat, and we used to have about 40 seats. So we've got to move that up a streak.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got a very good opportunity because of the SNP.
No, there is, yes, because of their circumstances, it looks like they can be damaged. But now you've got to look at it overall, the overall picture. And people obviously, they ask me, I have lots of people talk to me about the political stuff. And I just say, I lived through from 90 to 90. And the worst bit was from 90 to 92, because we won lots of local election seats. It weren't quite the same as the seats that were up this time, but we still were winning, and we were winning, and we won the European elections beforehand and all that. And then 92 comes along, and they put up they only had one poster, the Tories. It was Labour's tax bombshell. Big, them 50-foot posters, and they were everywhere, every town centre. I was in Derby, and they had two of them, either side of the mainline station. So when everybody commuting, everybody going to the market, everybody going into shopping areas, all they saw were these two whacking great big posters, mm-hmm. Labour's tax bombshell, and we lost. Other than the fact you can blame Kinnock for doing the Sheffield rally, and you can do, but on the ground, I can tell you, I spent 9 weeks in Derby. Bradshaw was the biggest council estate in Europe. And we knocked on every door, and we never got that. The reaction we were getting were from people who weren't, if you remember, it was the poll tax era. People were off of the electoral register, hiding away so they didn't have to pay their poll tax. Thatcher frightened them. And it just got worse. So in 92... Anyway.
Al, can we go to what's happened last week?
Well, this is what's happened. This is no different. So we're not going to win the next general election based on those local election results. No way.
I think historically, Al, when you have a result like this, and I think it's been commented on throughout the press and everything, that it's a wake-up for the Conservatives. They got a bashing because people are fed up and their current strategy is undoubtedly not working. People are not happy, and they have to send a message. And you send a message via the ballot box, which is what the majority have done in this country. However, historically, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, was it Major who got back in after a similar situation when the Conservatives got bashed in local elections, and then the following year they thought that the Conservatives were out, and then Major came back. by the skin of his teeth. I'm not saying
1992. That's what I was just talking about. 1992, major beat Kinnock and the whole pile of stuff, and that was the Labour tax bombshell. So that's why I'm saying now
it might happen again, Alf. I'm not saying it will. I'm saying it might happen again.
Oh no, there's every chance it will.
Maybe history will repeat itself. Who knows?
As I said, long time ago, Starmer comes along. I mean, there's a bypass in some of what goes on because of Starmer. Sharon said it. I'm not really trusting Starmer. It's not about it. You have to build up a trust, but it's charisma as well. It's a whole pile of things that go behind it. And the difficulty is for Labour. If I do live by the history of 92, where we lost the general election, I was so distraught. I ended up leaving my job and getting a job as a Labour Party organiser because I knew Labour would never win unless they changed the way they operated. I'd like to think I was a small part in that big cog. Having said that,
at least you rolled your sleeves up and got down to it.
Yeah, well, that's what I did.
Do something about it.
I took a $7,000 a year pay cut and went and worked for the stupid Labour Party. One of the worst employers in the world. Never mind. Having said that, you know, I had a name that I wanted.
Right.
I wanted the government to change, and it was never going to change after 92, and I was so distraught. But if you look back on it, you go, so what have we been through? Well, what we had to do then is that Kinnock had to change, right? He had lost the election. Smith comes along, a different character in its entirety, who then passes away, unfortunately, but he started the new fight back after Kinnock was the replacement for Foot, remember? Foot was our Corbyn.
Yeah.
So for Foot, read Corbyn. For Kinnock, read Starmer. So Starmer will be replaced, which technically, to me, means he ain't going to win the next general election. And what we've got to do in this time span is find the person with the charisma to be the next Prime Minister. And then you're looking at the general election after next. And the forecast will be is that whether it's Sunak or whether it's somebody else, they will go the fullest term that they can go. And in 97, they went 5 years and 7 days in order to get 7 days extra pay because they called it Easter and put a bank holiday in there just so that they got more money. The longest parliamentary term in the history of Britain.
952 78 4000 is the phone number. Excuse me. Rex. Yeah.
No, Giles. I'm a bit worried that no one's called in.
I'm getting what's thanks for that, Rex. I'm getting lots of WhatsApps though because they're obviously shrinking violence on the phone. No, not one sense of pity from Tory or Labour. Hi guys, but this is going back to the care homes. Hi guys, my mother, 92 years old, is in the same situation as Alf's mum, paying over £6,000 a month for a care home. I'm going back to England next week to clear her house and put it on the market as nearly all her savings have gone and the house is all that's left. It's a very difficult and overwhelming situation for me. Meanwhile, hi Giles team. Okay, Alf, I went through all this with care homes and your mum paying for it will be treated worse than the others not paying a penny. But even palliative end of life care is treated exactly the same way.
Yep.
By the way, Labour hasn't and won't change that. Labour's no friend to the average working family. Sorry.
They've always done it because the argument from the socialists has always been if you've got money then you should look after your own.
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, just like everybody who lives in a council house who've got no savings, have never had any intention of any savings, who end up having to go into care for whatever reason, don't pay a penny. It's
but
just not fair.
What you have to remember is that whoever gets into power, there's nothing, the pot is nearly empty. I mean, the deficit is huge. I wouldn't relish the next government going in because they're going to have a terrible job. There's just no money. There's no money. And it's going to reflect on anybody. And even if Labour were to get in next time and help people like your mum, Alf, it's unlikely they'll do it because there isn't any money, you know. And how far up the priority list is all of that, you know? The only time I will totally and 100% defend the system is that for those who are misfortunate enough to have the disabled person in their family or whatever, and they become a ward of the state because that person is incapacitated, whatever, I will say that the system works extremely well. And but, of course, in a perfect world, I would not want to be part of that, but sadly I am. And but it is one of those things. On a lighter note, my other daughter, who lives in America, decided to stay there and have our first grandchild.
Congratulations, Max.
So we are elated beyond whatever, and we'll be departing these shores in the coming weeks to go and visit. But she had very good care in New York, in the city. But, of course, it was paid for by insurance.
Of course, the big thing.
And that's the big thing. And she had wonderful care. But saying that, when she had an ectopic pregnancy when she was here in London a few years ago, she went to a local Middlesex hospital and had five-star care. So, you know, one's got to be careful when you're slagging things off or what, you know. There is goodness there. I promise you, there is goodness there.
But that's the NHS. And I maintain, across the world, I don't think much beats the NHS for everything they do. But they aren't in charge and they don't control the care of people. It's controlled by local authorities, social services, the government. It's not done. If you're in the NHS, you're right. You get superb service. When my mum was in hospital, it couldn't have been any better. But as soon as they've got to release the bed for somebody who's ill, then all that goes.
Yeah, going to take a quick break, and then we're into the last 10 minutes, believe it or not, of this week's Viewpoint.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
Yes, indeed. Just quickly, we're into the last 10 minutes. I just want to have this one quickly. The person is complaining about his mother having to pay for the care home because she's a house. It's the same person who supports illegal immigration, criminal invaders who are flooding, this is their words, not mine, who are flooding into Britain to make boxes. The government is paying over £7 million a day to house them in four-star hotels. Why does he not rant and rave about this ridiculous situation? That £7 million could rather be used to help British people such as his mother. Incidentally, this continuing invasion is because Brexit has not been fully and properly implemented. Britain is still in the ECHR, which prevents Britain doing anything about this. Blame Johnson. That's from Terence. So, there you go. That's an email. Yeah. That's an email and a half for you.
I've never heard so much nonsense in all my life. Get a life, mate. You just need to understand what those boat people are going through. We pay £7 million to stop those smugglers from setting up these boats. Why do we fail so often in France?
Because the French are not compliant.
Well, they are, though. Rex, they've just done a great big thing on that, and they're saying the French police is... British police are not allowed to police in France because they're not French policemen.
No, of course
but
not.
But they work hand in glove with the French police.
Well, we keep paying the French money to stop this.
No, we keep paying the French money to work with the British to stop the illegal smuggling. 70% of the illegal smugglers come from the UK. What are we doing in the UK to round these people up and stop them?
They're actually saying that the majority of the smugglers are of Albanian origin.
No, that's garbage as well, Rex. That's a new thing. You get sidetracked so easily by these Tories. Albania had a problem.
I read the papers.
Okay, so if you read the papers, how many thousands of Albanians attacked and came into the UK?
You just kick the Tories when you disagree. You just kick the Tories.
No, I'm not
kicking everybody.
12 years of rule, and all 70% of the smugglers are in the UK. They're not in France. They're in the UK. What have the French police got to do?
Doing it before, Alf. They're doing it Libya to Italy, from Libya, from other African, North African countries to Greece.
Yeah.
The Australians suffered the same until they clamped down. It's a worldwide problem.
Yes, but the Australians haven't clamped down, have they?
People who are fleeing their countries who are in a less fortunate position than we all are
right.
in Europe.
But the Australians
and
haven't
America
clamped down.
Wherever else it
See,
is.
You can't keep
the Mexicans
misquoting.
Are crossing the border in their millions.
Of course.
I mean, come on.
Of course. How many Indians do you think come illegally into the UK every year, unquestioned? Every
well, you know
single.
Why? There's too many cowboys here. That's the reason.
There's
why.
Boom.
Okay.
Ah,
listen.
Very good, Rex. It was all going.
India.
To, all going
India
so
had
well
a big
guy,
part of the
house.
India trade talks. If you're into the real economic stuff, part of the India trade talks is because the Indian government wanted Britain to remove the visas for Indian students to come to the UK, and Britain don't want to take it away because the people who come over on a student's visa
right.
never go back.
Anyway, the thing.
Okay.
One, my okay.
If you want to talk about India, that's a good. It's a good topic. Because of what has happened and what is happening in India in the immediacy of events is that India are becoming an even more successful nation than ever before, and they have aligned themselves accordingly. And I have, from several of my Indian friends, I asked them to explain Indian politics and Modi and what he's about. And is he becoming dictatorial in his government and so on? But the Indians have decided to stay with the Chinese and the Russians. That's their decision. And when I asked about this, I was told that when India had all their issues and with Chinese and partition and everything else, the Brits turned their backs on them. And they said, why should we? And it's the same attitude with Ukraine. Why should we bother? We have our own issues, we have our own problems, and we are intent on moving forward at a very high speed. And by God, they're doing that.
Right then.
I'm not sure Gandhi would agree with that.
Anyway, nor
would I.
Yes,
nor would I.
Indeed. Well, panel and listeners, we are almost out of time. It has been. I think we should have a coronation group hug though, because it got very heated there, Rex. I envision
yeah,
letting slip the moorings and heading towards southern Spain. Though it's still a bit misty out there. Right. It has been my pleasure and my privilege to bring you today's viewpoint. Thanks for all your messages in. And Terence Johnson, thank you for your Terence. Thank you for Jackson. Thank you very much for your email right at the end, which obviously set us all ablaze. Thanks very much to Alf Brewer in the studio.
Thank you, Giles. Thank you, Rex.
And last but by no means least, Rex, of course, Rex Leyland, live from beautiful London.
Thank you, Giles. It's been an absolute pleasure, as always.
And great to have you with us as well, Rex. This show will be repeated at 7 o'clock. Stephen Ritson is up next.
Views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.